You're listening to the Dan and Cody Podcast, episode number 61. Get ready.
This is the Dan and Cody Podcast.
A toy boat.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
This is the Dan and Cody Podcast.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Saddle up, partner.
Every little thing I do.
Okay.
Never seen enough for you.
For you, babe.
You don't want to lose it again. But I'm not like them. Maybe when you finally get to love somebody.
Somebody.
Guess what?
What?
It's gonna be me.
I love boy bands.
I love NSYNC. It's different.
I've had a resurgence.
Well, I guess Boys to Men's a boy band. I love Boys to Men.
What happened to boy bands?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what happened to boy bands.
They got their men bands?
Yeah. Like, it was a phase. It was kind of like the first boy band was like, Frankie Valli and the Fabulous Five, and then you went Jackson Five.
Menudo.
Yeah, what happens is you have these insurgents of boy bands, and then they break up, and the most talented one becomes a solo artist. They take over the world, and then what you have are you have these underlying boy bands. For example, we had the Jonas Brothers, and then we had, who are the English boys, ladies?
One Direction.
You had One Direction. What else did you have? You had...
Mick Busted.
Don't know them. But
that's a real one.
The Wanted.
That's a one too.
Another British.
And now what's interesting is you have the Jonas Brothers. Some of them can't hack it on their own.
Right.
So they're in this bad, what is it? DMCRVHLRP or something
DNC.
Like that? What is it?
DNC.
The
no
National
idea.
The Democratic National Committee.
DNCE.
National. Okay. So yeah, we've got those.
But I feel like the boy band it started as, you know, of course, you're going to have your two standouts.
Yes.
And then you're going to have your three that are kind of supportive. And it gave a chance to those three supportive to be part of something and make the money.
Yeah, they made the money. They never have to work again. Then you have guys like Joey Fatone doing Dancing with the Stars.
Chris Kirkpatrick.
And trying to find gigs. Kirkpatrick staying at home because he owns a monkey.
Dude, watch an old NSYNC video and it's sad.
It's
Justin and JC and like the other guys get like... Fucking 1 second.
No love.
It's like, boop. Oh, there he is.
Lance Bass kind of had a thing.
Lance had a thing, yeah.
He had a thing.
But it...
Jason and Joey had kind of like... Joey was the oldest. He was like the big brother. I got to take care of these guys.
They could... And he could move, though.
Oh, he could move.
He was big, but they could all move.
Yeah, they could. They could roll.
I'm surprised that, you know, people are starting out as one person. Like Ed Sheeran. Like, he could easily be a boy band guy, right? Throw him in a boy band.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, he's kind of like a, you know, he plays guitar and he sings kind of from the heart and that's just who he is. He's very, like, you know, John Mayer-ish.
But, I mean, I just miss it. I miss, like, the hype. Like, as a guy, you kind of had to pretend you didn't like the boy bands.
But you loved them.
You deep down, you knew the songs.
You sang the songs alone in your car or with another guy that you knew you could have, like, a secret NSYNC romance with.
Me and my boys in high school, we went to Columbia Mall, and we, like, camped out for tickets. And we didn't get them because we were at the wrong entrance. Ticketmaster didn't open. Ticketmaster, like, opened an hour early on the other side of the mall.
Oh, man.
We were at the wrong entrance. We didn't
get them. Shameful. That's too bad. Yeah, I'd never done that because I have self-respect.
Right,
Yeah, totally.
But, I mean, that NSYNC, those guys were good.
They were good.
They could dance. They were attractive.
They had a lot of moves. They were selling a lot of CDs.
Yeah, a lot of CDs.
It was at the end of CDs. It really was. It's where digital music really kicked in, was when they were kind of like at the tops.
And you loved it. You loved the booklet.
Absolutely.
You had all the lyrics in there.
You had a lot of these like great little poses they do together as groups.
Booklets used to be thick as shit.
They used to have all kinds of stories in them.
Yeah, man.
Miss those days.
It's gonna be me. Greatest boy band song of all time.
What?
Next to New Kids on the Block, Hanging Tough.
I don't know, man.
No?
Really?
It's Gonna Be Me is a great song.
What about Bye Bye Bye?
Bye 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 is also good.
I mean, Bye 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 was kind of...
Bye Bye Bye. And they had the little
Yeah, they had the little talk back at you, like, shut up, clown.
But, like, and all their videos had little, like, cuts.
Could you be my girlfriend?
Oh, that was good, too. But that was like, the beginning of the end.
It was. It's where JT, like, took over.
Yeah.
My girlfriend.
Like, that one.
I'll be the one to shine for you, girl.
The other, I watched, like, all of these music videos recently.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. But they, that song, Gone. Baby, gone. That video, it's about Justin breaking up with his girlfriend.
Brittany.
But in the video, it's some different girl, but the story is all about him.
Yeah.
And all the other singers are just on the bed, like singing, gone.
And he's just doing everything else.
Yeah, he's doing everything else. And then I'm thinking, like, what was the shooting like for that? They're like, so guys, we're gonna go over here with Justin and bring in the model. Okay. And
fellas, could you get in there a little tighter?
Just
kinda hold each other a little bit.
Yeah. How about you guys just sit on the bed the whole time and look kind of stoic? Can you do that for me?
Go ahead and say gone. Perfect. We got it. That's a wrap for you guys, Justin. Model, come on in the back. We'll get you finished up.
Joe, a little less emotion there. Just kind of be blank.
I don't understand, Chris. Why are you using the hips? There's no motion needed. Just sit there next to JC, okay?
Yeah. God bless
you. Anyway, yeah, they're the best. They are really the best.
JT, it's hard, man. It's either New Kids on the Block or NSYNC for me. Greatest of all time. Boy bands? Yeah.
I mean, like, just because it's relevant, it's relevant to me. I liked NSYNC more than I liked Backstreet. But I would say that, you know, there was some big people in the 50s and 60s and 70s that you could kind of fall back on. I mean, the Jackson 5 were amazing. Yeah. And Little Michael, like, nobody beats Little Michael.
They
JT tries.
Little Michael.
But Little Michael was like, he was the king.
It's hard to believe that they're like a doo-wop, like, boy band.
They were. Like,
that's how they started.
Yeah. Yeah. You could make the argument they were the first boy bands.
It's like the DNA.
Yeah.
Of what a boy band is. You got to have that little kid, the young one. Joey McIntyre for New Kids.
I would actually say one of my favorite boy bands is New Edition.
Oh.
And
were they were in the East Coast family.
Yeah. Were they?
I think.
No, they were like 80s. East New Coast Edition. Family, like, New Edition was like
Boys to Men, ABC, BBD.
Boys to Men was, yeah, I mean, Boys to Men was actually started by one of the guys from New Edition.
Right.
He was a producer on it.
Michael Bivins?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah, he was.
He's Biv.
He is. Yeah, that's right. That's right. He broke off after they ended up breaking up.
Right.
Yeah.
New Edition
broke.
That had Bobby Brown, right?
It did.
Yeah.
Bobby was the first one to leave.
Yes.
Because he thought he was better than the rest of the crew. But everybody knew that Ralph had the real talent.
Was it?
Because he had that little voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, so New Edition was what? Johnny Gill?
Yes.
Bobby Brown. Bivins?
Yep.
Michael Bivins.
And then Ralph. I think his name's Ralph. Isn't it Ralph?
I can't believe you like New Edition.
I love
what was
New
their
Edition.
Jam? Oh,
you better cool it down.
They
you
did
better
it.
Slow it down.
I sing that to Moxie all the time.
It's one of my favorite songs ever.
You about to lose control.
Lose control. Such a good song. And then I'm also a big fan of Mr. Telephone Man. I can't get you out of my mind when I dial my baby's number. I get a click every time. It's the best
beautiful.
Music video in the world because you have like these four black kids calling the telephone company. They send out a telephone man and they're asking him why they get a click every time. And he's like, buddy, this girl's hanging up on you. Nothing's wrong with your telephone. And it's like early 80s. It's an amazing music video if you ever get the opportunity.
This is going to drive me nuts what song I'm thinking about. New Edition.
My baby's number. Anyway, epic. So, like, you've got a lot of good people that came from a lot of good places to create some incredible music.
They really
and we've
did.
Seen it over the last, you know, boy bands start the next round of musicians. They really do, especially male entertainers.
It's like a farm system.
It is. It's the farm leagues. If you can work together in a group, maybe you're the most talented one. You can break off and do your own thing.
Yeah. JC Chazay, he tried to do it.
He tried, but unfortunately, it just didn't play for him. I was giving him my love. I like that single he did with the you know.
Poor guy.
Poor guy. That's
poor
what I'm
guy.
I saw him in a building once.
Did you?
Here in LA.
Were you like, what's up, JC?
No, I didn't. He was wearing glasses. He looked old as shit. I felt bad for him.
Like in my like when I was like just watching lots of old boy band music videos, yeah. I got some JC videos in there, like solo ones, and it's just like, ooh, buddy, you're just not on that level anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, This Is My Jam by New Edition.
Okay.
If it isn't love, why do I feel this way?
Oh.
Why is she staying on my mind? That's my jam.
That's a good jam. That's a very good jam.
And like when they're all in a line,
yes,
they're all doing.
They're
the
all dancing. They're doing.
Thing.
They're doing what they're doing with the not the Supremes, but who was it? Like Earth, Wind, and Fire would do. Temptations would do. Like these guys learn from the best, and then they just brought it along. They did a little. Jeez. They did a little twit. Little changes.
Yeah,
they brought it into modern time. Like who else was the next? Who, like Shy. You remember Shy? We've had this conversation, right?
Yeah,
we had a Shy conversation, but they led it into there, and I think we actually talked about New Edition on that episode too.
But like, can you imagine? It's you, your four other buddies that you grew up with from the same town. You're being chased around by every preteen and teenage girl there is. And you guys are just vibing and jamming. You're hitting the same moves. You're practicing. You're getting paid.
Like, absolutely.
You're performing in front of millions, sometimes hundreds of thousands. It's like that kind of high. Yes. I think every guy wants to do that. And that's why I also think that every guy says they hate boy bands because they're jealous.
Absolutely.
Y'all are hating.
Yeah.
You want to be in your own boy band.
Yep.
We all practiced. We all know the moves. Don't let anybody fool you.
You know you're in the mirror spinning around with your shirt off.
Yeah, we all know. We all know the moves.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
One day. You have a boy band pic of your wedding. That what? One that surfaced when you're doing like a West Side Story in the Jets.
Yeah, I mean,
really. It looks sort of like.
Do you think that's boy bandish?
It looked like you guys are like all like in a line, like with the.
But that's like West Side, like greasers. Like, it's like Beat It almost. It's the idea, and the girls are like, oh my God, those guys are like so strong and pretty.
It reminded me of like a boy band move.
Well, what's funny about that situation is after we took that picture. We had to have the museum that we took the picture in front of. We had to have them come out with a mop to clean up underneath the girls.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because we got them so wet.
Got them all kinds of wet.
Just so you know, and just so listeners can see right now, Madeline's face just melted. She was so upset she's so mad at me just saying that.
Beet red.
I'm totally kidding. We didn't get a mop. We just left the puddle there.
Let them figure it out.
Anyway, no big deal.
NBD.
So, Iowa. You know the state.
I know
Everybody knows the state of Iowa.
I know it well.
It's a contentious state.
Looks like a shield.
It looks like a shield. A lot of voters. It sways both ways in Iowa.
They guess caucus.
This. So, guess this. So, I came across this interesting article today about this teacher. She's, you know, she's a fairly attractive woman.
Okay.
But she has been sentenced to 90 days for hundreds of sexual encounters with teen student.
Oh, boy.
Yes. She did sexual acts with this kid, this 17-year-old student, hundreds of times.
Hundreds?
She also copped to working as a stripper named Bambi.
What?
Since she's forced retirement.
Wow.
She only got 90 days for doing a dude 100 times. Like, she's like, I have no problem taking that time in the clink. He was the best time I'd ever experienced.
Serve me up. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
She's like, she looks like she's like 23 or 24 years old.
Is she hot? Yeah, I feel like when anyone ever
I mean, she's an attractive, she's probably, she's slutty.
Yeah.
She's slutty. She's got the hot slut going.
With when guys hear these news stories, they always Google the teacher, and it's like, would you?
Yeah, I think you could Google the teacher. I think you would if you were 20, 22 years old. If you were a 17 or 16-year-old boy, I guarantee it.
What's it? What's her name?
Her name is Mary Beth Haglin. Terrible name. Ugly. She looks like a car accident. I'm
kidding. Haglin?
Haglin.
Mary Beth Haglin?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Dun, 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 dun. Anyway.
Oh, yes. Absolutely,
so
yes.
She was a... She obviously...
Jail for lap dance teacher who had sex with 17-year-old pupil.
Yep. Anyway.
Dude, yeah, of course.
She faced up to 5 years in jail, and the judge settled on 3 months. And she has to register as a sex offender. So she can't be a teacher again, but, you know.
These things should not be... I mean, good for you. Good for you, kiddo. Like, that's all I could say to this. Like, it's she's an different. Attractive woman.
Here's the thing. Here's the irony here. Here's the irony. If that was a girl student,
right?
Oh, that man would have been in jail for 10, 15 years.
He'd fry.
The fact that it's a boy, let's talk about equal rights. Can we talk about equal rights just a little bit?
Let's talk
Can
about
we
it.
Talk about equal rights?
I think I'm on board with what trail you're going down.
Now, I'm not saying it's okay to have sexual relations with anybody under the age of 18.
Right.
But crime's the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's enough said.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Enough said. Crime's the crime. If
crime's the crime.
It is.
This week on the Dan and Cody podcast, we talk about crime's the crime.
Crime's the crime.
Crime's the crime.
You do the crime, you shouldn't do the time.
You do the crime, you should do the time.
Well, you should.
But it should be equal. If a guy has sex with a girl that's under 18, he should get the penalty. If a girl that has sex with a guy that's under 18 should get the penalty.
I think there needs to be more investigation. Like you got to figure out, you have to find out in court who was the aggressor, you know? If the girl was pursuing the male teacher.
If the teacher had sex with this guy hundreds of times, the woman was the aggressor. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, she was trying.
She was the aggressor. This teacher was the aggressor.
Right.
5 years. If a man would have had sex with the school student hundreds of times, he would have been put to death.
I don't know if I'm put to death.
Yeah. Death penalty.
It's just,
and he would have had to have
like,
been
good job. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Do anyway. It. There are a lot of teachers out there that were hot in my high school and middle school.
That's good.
There were. I hope they're listening.
You live by rules.
I hope they're listening right now.
Anyway, so.
I would have.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Crime's the crime. That's
the crime
all I'm
is
saying.
The crime.
Crime is the crime.
And, you know, you committed a crime against Vin Diesel a couple shows ago.
I didn't commit any crime.
You sure
Vin
did.
Diesel committed a crime against humanity by making the next Triple X movie.
You said that movie will be garbage.
Yep, and it is.
You said it will make no money.
I said it's going to be garbage. You said it was going to make money somewhere.
That movie is crushing the box office.
Where? Because I believe Batman the movie was the number one movie this weekend in the United States.
Let's look on IMDb right now.
Go ahead. Look on it.
Triple X made stupid money in China.
Oh, good. Good job.
Stupid money.
They have to send a movie that is written, recorded in English to another country for somebody to enjoy it.
Oh, my God. Well, popularity is down 17%.
But
it's been out for a very long time.
But it has. It's been out for a little bit now. And I'm really curious. I'm really curious. What is its score on Rotten Tomatoes?
All right.
That's your determining factor, not how much money it made. Because Rotten Tomatoes fans. What are the fans? Not the certified.
Budget was $85 million.
They gave him $85 million to make that piece of garbage?
Yeah. Opening weekend. 20 million US and gross in US 43 million.
Okay, got it.
Ah, fuck, I hit an error.
Yeah, you did hit an error. I hit an error too.
God damn it.
Garbage movie. Oh, here we go. So it has
worldwide 83 million.
43% tomato meter. Audience score gave it a 47. The average rating is a 3.2 out of 5. I mean, here's the critics' consensus of XXX Return of Xander Cage. Can I read this to you?
Yes.
Should satisfy fans of the first two installments, but its preponderance of set pieces can't quite make up for a tired storyline that fails to take the franchise or action fans anywhere else.
Yikes. I haven't seen it.
Of course, you haven't, because you know it's garbage.
I'm a wait.
Yep.
I'm a wait, and I'm going to love it.
You're going to wait until you go blind and deaf and dumb, and then you'll never see it.
I'm just saying, you said they should have never made a third because two did so bad, but they crushed two. They crushed three.
Okay.
They came back and served up.
Crushed it.
They destroy.
For them to really make money on these types of projects, Dan, they have to make the budget times two.
Okay.
So you're telling me that this movie has made over $170 million?
They worldwide? Worldwide, $83 million. Budget was $85 million.
So they
and
are,
then U.S. was $40.
The worldwide's the total with the United States.
Shit. So they broke even.
They haven't even broke even.
Yeah. Huh?
No. For them to really break even, for them to make any money, they have to go more than $170 million. Because their marketing budget is normally the same amount as their regular budget.
Right.
They didn't make a dime on this movie. Xander Cage is drowning right now.
Well, it's like folding in if you're not the big or small blind, it's like folding. You didn't lose, but you didn't win.
So Google are making automated cars.
They're getting in the car.
They're making it. They've been putting money into developing automated cars for about the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, then I'm getting a Google car.
Crazy, right? So here's the interesting piece about this. I believe it was Bloomberg ran an article about how Google was paying their scientists, that their computer developers, so much money for this program that they've all started to retire.
So they're just like, I'm done.
They've made so much money that now they can retire living in like San Francisco and start up their own projects.
Oh boy.
So Google had the problem of paying their employees too much money, and now they can't keep those employees, the people that got it going and that are deep into it, because they've been paying them so much money. And apparently,
well, don't they have like competition clauses and stuff like that?
They probably have competition clauses, but if you make so much money, it's not that you can fight the competition clause, but you can go do anything you want. Maybe you didn't want to be in automated vehicles this whole time.
Yeah.
Now I've got $15 million in the bank. I'm cool.
Like, I'm gonna go make flying pencils.
So apparently they would give these employees like multipliers. So say they get the automation to a certain point, they'd all get bonuses. And then as they continued, they'd also get multipliers on ownership in Google, which actually ended up leading up their basic guys, their basic computer developers, into the point of where it's like, okay, well, I don't understand why I'm going to work here anymore. I have way too much money to even care.
Right.
So they've had problem keeping people. And because it's such a competitive market, it's a competitive market for hiring – they had to pay like over what everybody else would pay to keep good people. But now it's to the point where now they're quitting because they just have too much money.
Jesus. What an awesome problem.
How would you feel about that?
I mean, it's kind of like the reverse of getting grounded so much that like you don't give a shit if you get grounded anymore. So you just start doing bad shit anyway.
Yes.
You know?
That's a kind of what it is.
But with them, it's like, well, I have so much money. I'm just going to do whatever fuck I want.
I mean, I originally went to college to just do this, and now I did it, and now I don't ever have to do anything again.
Right.
It's like winning the lottery.
And that's how companies close the gap on people, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, okay, Google paid these guys way too much money, right?
Yes.
So what's going to happen is these guys are going to start up their own little companies, or they're going to go to other companies. Shut up, Google. I keep saying Google too much.
Yeah, and your auto Google is doing auto searches for you.
And they're going to... Wait, Google's listening to our podcast right
every
now.
Every time. Thanks, Google.
But they, you know, that's how Kia bridged the gap. They got like designers of BMW and Audi and now they're working for Kia, and now it spreads out the talent pool. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yeah. Like they'll start other companies called like Rugal and like
exactly.
Quiggle.
Yeah, Quiggle and Rugal. Watch out for those in the next
Watch
5 or 10
out,
years.
Guys. And then you'll be quiggling things and Google will be like, God damn it.
Hold on tight.
I like it.
Yeah.
Free open market.
It's good. It's interesting. It's certainly interesting. I want to tell you about a company called JC Roomblocks. They're huge, okay? Do you have 10 or more out-of-town guests coming into an event near you? Are they coming into town and you don't want to put them up in your place, but you know you're going to need the rooms? Not a problem. Weddings, family reunions, bachelorette parties, corporate events, holiday parties. Huge. They research hotels in your wedding venues. Who is that, you're asking? JC Roomblocks. That's who. JC Roomblocks comes and they look for rooms for your family, for your friends, for people you care about, for people that need places to stay. They set up Roomblocks. What do? Oh, no big deal. You get deals on rooms because you took so many rooms at one time. And guess how much they cost? Let me tell you, nothing. Free. If you tell them the Dan and Cody podcast sent you, you get a free service from JC Roomblocks. Now, check out JC Roomblocks at jcroomblocks.com. They're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Do yourself a favor. Follow them. Check them out. When you need their service, they're going to be there for you. They're ran by two quality ladies who know how to handle big situations, if you know what I mean. So, since they're certified travel agents, they can get you the lowest possible rates. And who doesn't want possible low rates? I know I do. Check them out. JC Roomblocks.
Did you ever fight your siblings?
I used to choke the shit out of them.
Dude, I've gotten in some epic fights.
Right?
Yeah.
You would take Sarah and probably just slap her.
Oh, man.
So many times.
Like stuff I'm not even proud of.
Really?
Just bad. I was thinking about it.
You would be considered like... Women should be afraid of you, Daniel.
Yes. Yeah. Like, Sarah's bedroom door wasn't even a door anymore. It was just...
You would Hulk through the door in that green shirt you're wearing?
Yeah, it was covered in holes, like, all on the lower end.
Holes?
Like, just kicking through it.
Why were you so angry?
She shouldn't have even had a door by the end of it.
Why? Why were you so angry?
I don't know, but, like, our fights would always end, like, someone would run in their room, and then the other person would, like, run up and punch the shit out of it for a while.
There was, like, a sign on your sister's door that said, Dan the Dummy, not allowed.
Yeah, and, like, oh, man, her door was just annihilated. And she stabbed me before.
With what?
A knife.
Oh, my God.
A butcher knife.
Now, she shouldn't feel good about herself either.
No. I mean, no, she contributed to
I mean, let's
to
be honest, though,
stuff.
Dan. Your rage was so intense that she had no choice.
I was passionate.
It was like a shining moment where she like had to grab the knife.
It was a crime. Yeah, it was a crime of passion. I forget what we were fighting
about. It was a crime
about.
Of passion.
Yeah. We were in the kitchen, and like we were fighting over something, and like she just grabs this knife out of like, my mom had them all in like this cookie jar type thing. I don't like where you keep like utensils. You know?
Yeah, it's where you keep knives.
She just grabbed the butcher
the,
knife.
The cookie drawer, the knife cookie drawer. yes.
But like she grabs it.
Yeah.
And I call her bluff. I was like, you're not going to do anything with that knife.
Wrong.
She was like, oh no. And I was like, yeah, you're not going to do shit. And she took it and just like stuck me with it in the leg. I have a scar to this day. And then like I looked down and I was like, ah! And I just laid on the ground. And I was like bleeding out of my
then
leg.
Then she ran to her room. And then all of a sudden there was banging on the door. And it burst as you run through with a knife in your leg. And you're like, game over, sister.
Dude,
she didn't feel that.
She was like, oh my God, what have
I
done?
Actually, you know what? I have a lot more respect for your sister. Not that I didn't have respect for her before, but now it's a whole different level.
She stabs.
It explains a lot.
She like I got her to the point of stabbing.
Gosh.
You know?
That makes you not want to have a second child, right?
it's hard. Those sibling fights?
Dude, they were brutal.
They were very brutal.
Mine was a battle between my two younger brothers always. And I was the older brother, and I had to be like a parent in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever my brothers would fight, I'd break it up. And then one, the guy I like saved, the brother I saved, would get pissed that I was beating up the other one. And then he would turn on me. And then I had to fight off both of them.
They'd turn on you.
Yeah, they'd both turn on me.
Oh, man.
It's like I then became the enemy. And it was a bloodbath. Yeah, it was a bloodbath.
Fisticuffs or just a lot of wrestling?
It was a lot of wrestling. We never like would go fist to face. It would never get that violent.
Right.
I just couldn't imagine punching my brothers in the face. I mean, I'd do like quick punches to their stomachs and stuff, but never to their face.
Yeah.
I didn't want to mess them up too bad.
Yeah. No touching of the hair or face.
Yeah.
Me and Sarah didn't really face punch a lot. She'd scratch me.
Oh, she'd do the cat thing.
Yeah. I'd push. I'd do a lot of pushing.
Yeah. I was a big fan of choking.
Choke them out.
I'd choke my brothers. I'd like get really angry and I'd grab them by the throat and I'd throw them up against the wall.
Are you good? Are you good?
And then they'd get really mad and they're the best.
My brother had a thing he did to me called the delayed death hit.
Ooh, the delayed death hit. That's creative.
It was a karate chop.
The DDH?
Straight hand. Yeah. Okay. Straight hand. And he'd get you in the back of the neck.
Okay.
And like,
you wouldn't feel it for a minute, and then you'd be like, "Ugh," and you crumble.
Well, the thing was, like, he would deliver it. Well, he would threaten to deliver it.
Okay, nice.
Because the trick is over after it's delivered.
Yeah, of course.
Right. But he said, "I'm going to give you the delayed death hit." And I'd be like, "No, do not give me the delayed death hit." And he like hit you in the back of the neck. And then like my life was over at that point.
You just fall apart.
When he finally delivered the blow.
Jeez.
I thought I was going to die.
I believe that.
For like 5 minutes.
You were
like,
okay.
This is it.
You just feel pain throughout your whole body.
Yeah. And like you're going to just stop and die. Wow. Like in what was that movie? Kill Bill?
Yeah.
Like the punch in the heart.
Yeah.
You take 15 steps. And then your heart will explode. It was like that.
Wow.
My brother wrote Kill Bill.
I bet he was the inspiration.
He sold that script when he was 12.
Tarantino, here you go, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you talk about all of this stuff, and it makes me think. I was gone last week.
Right.
I was gone last week. I listened to the podcast.
Yes.
I have some real concerns about your wife, Dan.
Jenny,
I have some real concerns about your wife.
What?
What about the orbs?
No, well, the orbs were one thing. She sees the orbs in the baby monitor, and it's like, do you see the orbs? They're coming out. I thought that was interesting. But here's the concern I have. It's her belief that she's going to get murdered at any given time. So I wanted to provide her with some information.
Lay it on her, because this is driving me nuts.
Reassure her that she doesn't have to worry about those things. Number one,
mm-hmm.
She's a woman, right?
Right, I think so.
Well, I guess let's first talk about murder.
Okay.
Where does murder happen?
Murder happens in the streets.
It happens in the street. Murder happens anywhere.
Hey, but hear him out. Pipe down.
Where is it likely to happen?
It's likely to happen in the home.
It is. It is. And who is likely the one that's going to murder you?
Your spouse.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
This guy.
So, unless she's just afraid of you and that was just a cry for help. Because if it is, Jenny, not that you have to say anything to me. But it'd
just
be best
nod.
If you talk to Madeline and we can take care of some things. I just want
to... What he did to his sister.
What?
She said, you heard what he did to his sister?
I did, but I also heard that she stabbed him.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give you some numbers just to kind of reassure you murder.
Lay some alternative facts on
it. So apparently, and this is from The Economist from April 10th of 2014. So apparently, let's see what it is. Let me find the number here.
I'm really glad you're clearing this up for her.
I know. It's one of those things where, you know, it's a little scary.
She lives in fear.
Apparently, in the United States specifically, let's go. Sorry, this article doesn't help me. I don't know why I put that on there. First of all, there's a website, Jenny, I want you to go to. It's called rateyourrisk.org. You answer several questions. You get a score between 0 and 100. If you fall within the 80 range, you probably should be talking about getting protection because
your chances of getting murdered
are very high, right? So I filled it out for you because of what I thought maybe what I thought maybe your like world is, right?
I love where this is going.
I'm just guessing based off of what I know of the Hills.
Okay.
You scored a 9. You scored a 9, Jenny.
A 9.
A 9 is isn't even like, you know, a danger. Like a 9 isn't even a thing.
I'd like
so,
to see these questions.
You should. Go to the website and read it. You should totally see it. If anybody wants to check it out, it's called rateyourrisk.org. And you can go through, you can fill out the questions, and it will actually tell you between 0 and 100 what it is.
So she got 9 out of 100.
Yes. Here's another interesting thing too. So recently we talked about Trump and he sent out that ban.
Yes.
So apparently, according to the independentco.uk, it's like a news website, they said the chance of being killed by a refugee terrorist in the United States is 1 in 3.6 billion.
Jesus.
So that basically means that it's very unlikely.
Right.
That it's impossible in the United States. There's 320 million people in the United States, 350 million people. So, you know, it's not likely you're going to get killed by a refugee terrorist.
It's fear-mongering.
Here's the other thing, too. Here's another interesting. So for violent crimes in the United States, now this isn't murder. I mean, this is more like rape, you getting attacked with a knife but not dying. Like, these are all these kinds of things. For every 1,000 people, 18 people experience a violent crime.
For every 1,000.
For every 1,000. Firsthand. Now, mind you, these are the reported crimes. You could probably double what is not reported.
Oh, yeah. Especially
rape. So
2% is not insignificant.
So just hear me out.
Hey, time out.
Hear me out.
There.
Hear me out. Let me tell you the world you're living in right now, okay? In 1985, you want to know what the rate was?
What was the rate?
76 for every 1,000 people experienced a violent crime.
76.
We have experienced a reduction in violent crime. Violent crime. By almost, what is that? I don't know. 300%?
Holy Moses.
And why is that? Due to Freakonomics? What did we learn? Because abortion became
legal. Possibly.
That
boom.
In 91. But even in 93, I think it was in 93, because there's a big drop in violent crimes after 91. Like a huge drop. It's an insane number. The other piece about it, what I feel really bad about when I was reading this and I was searching into this, property crimes, crazy. You own property? Count on somebody vandalizing that shit. Because you're not going to like it.
Dude, they vandalize outside our place.
They do?
Yeah, those little bastards. They spray painted the wall.
Wow.
Up in Awesome Town, Santa Clarita.
Wow. Yeah, it looks like here in 1993, you were experiencing 76 violent crimes if you were the age of 12 or older.
Maybe that's why Melrose Place was so racy.
Why?
Because it's 93 and that shit was crime ridden.
Violent crimes all over the place. So you could double that. You could double that.
Damn.
Anyway, that's pretty nuts.
So Jenny, just chill out. You ain't gonna die.
The likelihood of you getting attacked or murdered is pretty slim because of the fact that you're also over the age of like 25.
Yeah.
And the people that are likely going to kill you are going to be Michael.
It's going to be me.
Dan. You know, it's going to be somebody that you love because most murders are crimes of passion anyway.
If anybody killing my wife, it's going to be me.
And you heard it first. If Jenny ends up dead, it's Dan's fault.
We call this a motive.
Dan, so in the year 2017, in February, you on, it looks like the Dan and Cody podcast episode 61, you had claimed that if Jenny did end up dead, it was your fault.
I plead the fifth.
So,
three, four, fifth.
I just want people to know, if you're interested, my statistics on that came from the Bureau or the U.S. Department of Justice. So you're more than welcome. The Bureau of Justice Statistics, it's a federal agency. You're more than welcome to take a look at that. Be surprised by all of that information, because I think you'll be blown away that we're in a pretty safe time right now.
Check it out.
From you getting mugged, murdered, raped, killed, attacked.
Oh, that's a good game we could play. Mug, murder, rape, or kill.
Mug, murder, rape, or kill.
Who would you mug?
Who would you mug?
Who would you murder?
Who would you murder?
Who are you raping?
I guess kill's the same as murder, though.
Right. Well, kill is just like you could poison them. Murder, you have to like cut them.
Okay.
we'll play next week. Tune
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Yeah, tune in next week.
We'll play mug, murder, rape, and kill.
Rape? No.
Anyway. Yeah, of course.
Date rape.
Just so everybody knows, I'm going to get ahead of this one. I would rape Dan Hill.
You'd have a tough time because I would welcome it.
Well, I promise you I would hate it. I would hate rape you, Dan Hill.
Speaking of sex and rape,
yeah.
Playboy is back, baby.
I hear.
They shut down, which I thought was always stupid. They were like, okay, we're going to do non-nude magazines because you can see nude everywhere.
Yes.
And then I bet no one bought their magazine anymore. And now they're back to nudes.
How relevant can Playboy stay?
I mean, dude, that's the thing, is that there is a place for Playboy because it's print and it is... It's like, what do you call it? Like you can get boxed wine at the grocery store, but you got to go to a vineyard to get like a good tasting of like a oak barrel fucking wine.
So let me ask you a question. How the hell does that relate to Playboy?
They're producing quality classic nudes.
So you're telling me that Playboy is a fine wine?
Yeah.
And what is everything else?
I'm saying Pornhub's a cigarette and Playboy is a Cuban cigar.
I don't know, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. Like, I'm going to be the guy that's always smoking a cigarette.
You're going to have a cigarette.
Because I have no desire to just...
Because it's just there.
Yeah. I mean, just throw it in my face. Like, stop toying around with me.
And Playboy gets... They get, like... If they still end up getting celebs, you know, there's a place for that.
Yeah, but, like, you have to be, like, Playboy celebs? Like, I don't know.
I mean, the bunny thing, it might be dead. But you can do Playmate of the Year still. You could still, you know, people want to see, I mean, the girls in Playboy, those are hot models, man.
They're pretty women. There's tons of pretty women. I don't care, man. I'm not going to buy a magazine to look at naked girls.
Right. But that's why there's the articles. Okay, so would you...
That's why they're the articles? Give me a break.
But I'm saying, like, all right, so you're going to have the articles... Moxie, stop. You're not getting in Playboy, damn it. Okay. So.
Hide the knives, Jenny. Hide the knives, Jenny.
Hide the knives.
Sarah, where are you when Moxie needs your protection?
But look. So, okay. So, like, no one's buying magazines, but the chances of you buying a magazine with naked women in it is more than buying a magazine with naked women in it.
Wrong.
What?
He subscribes to several
magazines. I have two magazines.
You got Maxim and FHM?
No, man.
Clothes.
I have Wired and The New Yorker. I know, I'm sad.
Jesus Christ.
But I appreciate good journalism, good. And I'm a tech nerd. I don't know what to say.
I think my last magazine subscription was like Game Informer.
You have the Rolling Stone.
But that's only because free.
That's a good. They've got good journalists, and there's no nudity in there.
And I only look at the pictures.
Of what? The boy bands?
I wish there were nudes in there.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do?
But they're back. They published its first non-nude issue in March of 2016, and prior to that, they...
As a matter of fact, I think we had a conversation in February, March about how they went
non-nude.
Yeah.
But now they're going back.
And just so you know, I don't even remember where I stood there, but I'm going to be honest, I don't care. It's done.
I think it's a good move. Bring it back. Like, there's a good separation there of nudes. Like, they're good nudes. They're not Pornhub. Of course, if you want to go see shitty porno, go to Pornhub. But you want to see beautiful women?
I got to be honest with you, Dan.
But you want to see beautiful women?
How often do you search out porn for its production value? Porn has one job. That's it. It's got one job, and you're telling me you're looking for the finest porn?
You're not gonna jerk it to like a ugly porno. Ew.
I mean, I don't know what, like, you're going to quote unquote jerk it to. Okay, whatever your taste is. If you're into feet, fat girls, fat guys, right, whatever it is, I don't care. But I'm just saying, quality of porn. You take your tastes. You get what you can, and you move on with your life.
I mean, I think there's some people that are a little more dedicated. You're right.
There are the wine drinkers of the world.
Right. But, like, they're going to want their porn.
You're right. They're going to want their porn.
Right. But you know, there's levels of like, video porn on Pornhub or YouPorn or whatever. But there will always be a place for, like, the naked models, because a lot of porn stars are not models. We can agree on that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's some busted porn stars.
Busted.
Yeah. So it has its place. I'm glad they're doing it.
Okay.
I'm glad they're back. Good job, Playboy. So I'm...
I got nothing to say to you right now.
I mean, it's cool.
No, it's fine. It's cool.
Let them do it.
Yeah, let them. I'm not. I mean, it's America. Do what you want.
Have you seen trailers for Ultimate Beastmaster?
No.
It's gonna be badass.
Really?
It's a Netflix show that is basically Ninja Warrior on crack and PCP.
Like they're jumping over lava?
Yeah.
Really?
It's like for real intense.
Like they could die.
You should watch the trailer.
Okay.
It's Sylvester Stallone, Terry Crews, like they've got this course.
Oh, I've seen like the ad on Netflix, but I haven't. Is it a television show? Like, yeah. It's a joke. It makes fun of it.
But it's on. No. It's on Netflix and it's for real.
It's reality.
Yeah, it's like a reality strength competition, like Ninja Warrior, or okay, like remember like MXC or whatever.
Yeah.
Where they have all that shit.
Yes.
I Google images, man. It's fucking crazy.
That's cool. I got you.
I can't wait to watch this shit.
Okay.
Ultimate Beastmaster. I'm thinking about just covering it all the time.
Okay. Well, that sounds like it's going to be a pretty good show then.
Yes, it really is. I'm excited for it.
Okay. I will have to check it out. I wish I would have watched it. I apologize. I haven't watched it. I'm not up on that.
You should watch the trailer.
So maybe. I watched an interesting show. There's a show on Netflix, actually. It's about the art of illustration, right? And it's about the process of like people that draw and use all of these things. And they have a multiple episode show,
mm-hmm,
where they like highlight an artist each episode, right?
Right.
So this guy basically sits in a room all day long looking at a blank piece of paper until he decides to draw something. That's my story.
He just sits there?
He sits there. Like, he's German. And he sits there, and then he's like, he had some amazing quotes that I really, really loved. One of the quotes, which I actually am going to read to you, because I think it's one of the most inspirational things I've heard in a while, because it's so simple. He stated, "It's just about showing up and getting started. And then something amazing happens. Or it doesn't happen. All that matters is that you enable the chance for something to happen."
Fuck this guy.
Wow.
That is the dumbest shit I ever heard.
Why?
He just sits in a room and waits for opportunity?
Well, it's interesting because if you look this gentleman up, his name is Christoph Niemann. He has a Instagram page called Sunday Portrait. It's really beautiful. He kind of interplays the real world with his drawings, and he kind of creates it into one image. It's really kind of cool stuff. And he's done the cover of The New Yorker like 12 or 13 times. And he does some amazing illustration work.
Really?
But I really loved that quote. And here's why, Dan.
Why?
Because what he's saying to you is, if you don't put yourself out into the world, you're never going to know. And that's what that quote says. That quote says, all that matters is that you enable the chance for something to happen.
See, I didn't get that from that.
You didn't. What did you take away from that quote?
I took away...
Let me read the quote again.
I sit here and wait for things to happen.
No, he's like a creative space, and that's his profession. So every day, something's going to work out for him. But for him, it's like, it's not about inspiration as much as he like puts it to the paper, and then things will happen because A, he can fall back on what he's been trained in, and then the next piece that's really important to him is his talent. That's what allows him to be able to separate himself from everybody else. He took the time to learn and gain all these skills, and then what really separates him from everybody else, aside from his work ethic, is his talent.
Right.
And it's great that I love that. I love this statement because aside from that, if I didn't tell you that he sat in a room and waited for something for him to draw, and I gave you that quote, how would you respond?
Say the quote again.
It's just about showing up and getting started. And then something amazing happens, or it doesn't happen. All that matters is that you enable the chance for something to happen.
I just see weakness. It's a passive approach at opportunity. I feel like most like entrepreneurs and like go-getters would tell you seek the opportunity, find it and make it and grab it and go.
Let me finish the quote. He says, "And if nothing does happen, I piss in their faces."
Boom.
That's not the end of his quote. The quote is actually where I originally ended.
I would have liked that one better.
I know you would have. Drink your beer.
I would say, oh, cool. I like that guy.
Anyway, so.
His art's cool. I like the art. I like how it merges reality. So what? He has a... I know what happens. He sits in a room. He waits for a banana to show up. And then he makes a horse with the ass is two bananas. Is that what he's talking about?
Damn,
it's all food.
It's not about, it's like.
You see the avocado one?
I think you're missing the bigger picture here.
He's like, I wait for my food to arrive and then I start drawing.
I have breakfast, I go to the office, I wait for lunch, and then stuff happens.
Yeah, it's like, dude, these guys are just bringing you food and you're drawing around it.
The only reason that I am successful is because I have always had a diet that is very broad. I eat a bunch of different foods, and I like to throw them on paper and see where that goes.
Yeah. He literally flicked through his Instagram. It's like, it's food. Oh, there's socks on one. He made a dinosaur. That's the opportunity he sought.
No, that's not it. It's just like, yeah, anyway.
I like it. I think the art's really cool. This is the time in the podcast where me and Cody take the civics, history, and government questions of the naturalization test, and we quiz each other about shit we don't know about this government, because this is what...
This is the test that refugees and people that want to become citizens are required to take.
Right. So if they're required to know this information, damn it, so are you.
And just so everybody knows, I've never won anything we've ever done on this game. I am very slow in challenges and games.
But, Cody, if we both learn, then we both win.
Oh, my gosh. That was inspirational. Yeah. Maybe I should remove that last quote that I wrote down that I love so much and put that one on.
I mean, Cody, every now and then I just sit in a room and I wait for shit to go down and I take naturalization tests.
All right, Dan.
Cody, what are two ways that Americans can participate in their democracy?
Vote.
Yes, that's correct.
They can vote and they can run for office.
That is also correct. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We would have accepted help with a campaign, join a political party, join a civic group, join a community group.
What's a civic group? Like Lions Club?
Something to do with Honda.
Oh, okay.
No. I don't know. A civic.
Terrible joke.
And they can write to a newspaper. That is also
okay. All right.
How you participate in the democracy.
Okay.
All right. Ask me something on there.
I'm going to ask you a question, Dan. Let's see. Get ready. Get ready.
I know my America. Make me a citizen.
Let's see.
Oh, boy. The look on your face, this is hard as shit.
Who does a U.S. senator represent?
A U.S. senator represents the people of a state.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah! Woo! What were the exact words?
All the people of the state.
All the people of the state. Okay.
But I'll give you people of the state. It's a pretty broad term.
Thank you, sir. What happened, Cody?
Yes.
At the Constitutional Convention?
The Constitution was written?
That is correct, sir.
Ding, 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 ding!
And, we would also have accepted the Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution.
Okay.
Yep. We're all learning here. We're all learning.
What are two cabinet-level positions?
Two cabinet-level positions. Attorney General.
Ding, ding, ding.
And Secretary of Defense.
That's right. We would have also have accepted Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of Education, Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Secretary of Interior, Secretary of Labor, Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary of Transportation, Secretary of Veteran Affairs.
That's a lot of secretaries.
Vice President and Attorney General.
Nice. How come when we say Secretary of Defense, we say Secretary of Defense, but if you were talking about a sport, you'd say their defense sucked?
What?
So like there's more emphasis on the D when you're talking about a sport defense. The defense was terrible. But if you're talking about the cabinet position, you would say the Secretary of Defense. It's a softer D. You know what I'm saying?
It's like design versus design.
Yes.
Tell me about New England's defense during the Super Bowl.
Tell me about
You wouldn't call him the Secretary of Defense. Would you?
No.
You'd say defense.
Yeah, I would.
Duh. Not D.
Yep.
Like, oh man, that was a great defensive play.
Dan? Ask me a question.
Okay. Moving along.
Okay, so these are our final questions.
Final questions. What movement tried to end racial discrimination?
What movement?
Yes.
Tried to end racial discrimination? I don't know. That's a real
tough one. It's right there. It's easier than you think.
Civil rights?
Boom! Yes, sir.
I mean, that's a civic movement.
The civil rights movement.
I wonder if the Lions Club was involved in that.
That's it. You aced this portion.
Okay, you ready for your final one?
I'm ready for mine.
What's the capital of your state?
Capital of my state. Fuck. Sacramento?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yay! We both aced we aced it.
I feel like today, you won, I won, because we learned something.
We learned.
Together.
And that guy learned something. Good job.
Hey, good job to you, Dan.
Good job to you, Cody. We got some new iTunes reviews.
Oh, we do?
Mm-hmm. From Comical Podcasts.
What'd they say?
They wrote, Dan and Cody, so hot right now. Dan and Cody.
Oh, thank you, Comical Podcast.
Love this podcast and very excited to work with them in the future. Very funny, very entertaining hosts. Herm from Herm's House Radio Podcast.
Herm!
What up, Herm? Thanks, bro.
Give us a call.
And we got another one. Became a weekly favorite by Apathetic Merle.
Apathetic Merle! How you doing, buddy? I appreciate that you feel me.
Happened upon this show by chance and haven't looked back. The quality of sound, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
The quality of sound and content is exceptional, and it has immediately added to my weekly podcast rotation. Relevant and humorous, this is a show that can be enjoyed by all and should be missed by no one. Keep up the good work, fellas.
Hey, Merle, we appreciate the love. Thank you for the for the review. We need all those reviews.
Thanks, guys.
Anybody, everybody, go on iTunes, give us a review. Tell us how much you love us or hate us. We're going to read them each week.
Every single week.
Every single week.
One more.
We got one more.
From 80s Reboot Podcast. Good,
this is a hate one.
Highly recommended.
Oh, they love us.
Great show. These guys are a blast. I highly recommend listening to them.
Thank you for the love. We love you, too. I'm going to check you out tomorrow.
Thanks, 80s Reboot.
Ching, ching, ching.
All right. Peace. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody Podcast. You can listen to all of our episodes on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And if that's not enough for you, we're all over social media, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. And you can bookmark our website, thedanandcodypodcast.simplecast.fm.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play the tough guy to shoot, all right?